Hi everyone, I'm Cindy. I'm a compulsive eater from Delaware. Although, oh, I have to look at myself. Wait, do I have to look at myself? Gallery, thank you. Okay. Delaware only for the last 3.5 years. I moved down from New York. A little of who I was, what happened, who I am now. It's not easy to hear who I was. My early life was rough. Life was black, as far as I'm concerned. I could just say life was very black. My early lessons in life was that I was a stupid, fat, ugly, worthless piece of shit that didn't deserve anything good, and that's who I was. I remember driving it within OA. I was driving in a car with a friend. And she said, "You're not stupid." After I told her that, I said, "Well, I know that now, but if 100% of you, actually 1,000% of you, believes you are, then you are." I barely made it through school. Grammar school I made through because they loved me so much that they just passed me, which I don't know how well that did for me, but I was bred to be a young lady. So I know how to crochet and knit. Well, I used to play the piano and whatever else. I know how to not speak back to my superiors. Of course, I'm now the adult at this point, so I get to speak back to anybody. No, never mind. But I never learned how to do anything that is good to know in life. Like basically plug an outlet. Plug into an outlet, pretty much. But I did learn that I was garbage. And while I learned that, I was going to religious schools. And as I got older and older, I was hearing more and more things that were just not working with me. And in high school, sometime, I had the last straw. I said, "That's it. I'm done with God. I will think about the one thing that I learned, and that is if that God will always love me no matter what." Good. That's where you can love me from. You can love me from inside this shoebox around which I have tied, so you can't get out of the shoebox, put it on the top shelf of a closet all the way in the back, close the door. That's where you can love me from. That's all that I want to hear from you. I will never darken a doorstep, another doorstep of a religious facility unless it's for a funeral or a wedding. And I spent years like that. They say that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. Rather, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And I believe that. I believe that we all are spiritual beings. And our addictions start when we start growing a hole in our soul. We need that connection to a higher power, whatever that higher power may be, we need that connection. And when I absolutely turn my back on it very, very blatantly, starting to grow the hole in my soul, my addiction really kicked in. I had always been, I probably came, I don't know about coming out of the womb. I don't remember drinking a chocolate milk out of a bottle and thinking this is good. Of course, my mother never would have given me chocolate milk in any way, but the addiction really kicked in when I said, "That's it, I'm done. I'm done with that whole God thing." So for years, that's the way I lived. Now, it really didn't change my life because my life was black to begin with. I had been suicidal since I was 12. My motto was life sucks and then you die. And I really hope that happens soon. As an adult, I can remember every morning opening my eyes again. Damn, because I hadn't had the good luck to go in my sleep. And then I found OA. Now, my mother always called me a late bloomer, and I am. I'm a slow learner, but I'm a learner. This will tell you how slow a learner I am. Well, not slow a learner, but how long I've been. Today is what, Saturday? 3 days ago was my 30th anniversary in a way. Thank you. 30 years of actually learning how to become a human being, and not a dish rag, not a puddle on the floor, not a piece of shit, not the worst of the worst of the worst that nobody should ever love. And that's, you know, been a miracle of this program. So 30 years ago, 32 years ago, I went to my first meeting and I heard that three-letter word and I could not run fast enough. A year later, I did the exact same thing, exact same thing. A year later, it was the last house on the block. I knew without a doubt that if I could not sit through this program, if I could not be able to embrace this program, I would figure out how to kill myself and do it finally. I learned that day, but I didn't think so, that God has a real sense of humor, because that meeting that I finally went to was an 11th step meeting. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with, oh my God, what am I going to do? You know, I cried through the whole thing. I ripped off all my nails, my cuticles. I was starting on my hair. I didn't know if I was going to throw up or pass out first. And at that meeting, the speaker spoke my whole story. I mean, there wasn't an undotted I or an uncrossed T. It was exactly the same. He became my sponsor. And I went home that night and I had my first of many, 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 many miracles. You know, in the appendix of the big book on spiritual awakening, they say, you know, people thought that, you know, that spiritual awakening was supposed to be one of those kind of moments. And it doesn't happen very often. Well, it happened to me. And I think that's because my higher power knew that unless I got hit with a 2x4, I was not going to be able to embrace this program of spirituality because of where I had come from. So he appeared to me that night. I didn't see him. I was looking in a mirror, which I didn't usually do. And I just knew that he was standing right there. Not right there, not over there. He was right there. I didn't see him, but I knew. And he's talking to me. He says, you know all that stuff you learned about me already? Get rid of it. Tear that sheet off. Blank slate. Fresh piece of paper. What do you need me to be? I said, well, that's easy. I just need you to be everything that's good and nothing but good. Okay, that's me. And P.S., I love you. It took 28 years for me to be able to get that sentence out of my mouth without getting stuck in my throat. Because nobody was supposed to love me. I learned later on in program that this was pride in reverse. Nobody is better at being the worst in the world than I am. I was very unhappy when I heard that was pride in reverse, but hey. So here is God telling me that he loves me. Who am I to argue with? Hello. So if he loves me, then I should probably drum up some kind of love that I have for myself, whatever little pea-sized, you know, amount that I can do. But I didn't know how that was, because love was not in my vocabulary. And then I heard my own voice say, give yourself this program. That was 30 years ago. And I have not stopped. And I hope to never stop until they're digging a hole for me. So for the people who have an issue with that three-letter word, which, by the way, I do choose to call God, and I do call him, But for me, it's a very ethereal. I just do that for ease, you know. I try to use the word higher power, HP, to keep people from running like I did. But you know, for me, that's just the easy way to do it. It is not the same one that, of my upbringing. It has nothing to do with the one of my upbringing. Say that again.
I'm sorry, I didn't know if you heard the sound chime. It's 10 minutes.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to share with you who my higher power is, what traits my higher power has. Because for any of you who may be struggling, you're welcome to take mine. Four things. Loves me unconditionally. Always wants the best for me. Has everything I will ever need, not maybe want, but need to accept my life on my life's terms. And fourth, and most importantly for me, I think, always has my back. And that makes me think of a trust fall. We all know what a trust fall is, especially like when you're in a couples therapy and one person falls over backwards knowing that the other person's going to catch them. If I am not 1,000,000% sure that my higher power is always going to catch me, I ain't doing that. I ain't falling over backwards, i.e. cooperating with this program, working my steps, using my tools, traditions, the whole nine yards. I'm just not, because I'm not a fool. I've broken a lot of things. I don't need to break my head too. So that is who my higher power is, has been all this time and never changed. That doesn't mean that anybody else's can't change. Higher power needs to change as long as it's not working for you. If I cannot work my program, stay abstinent, be the person that I want to be, then I kind of need to fire my higher power and put out an ad for a better one. Or as someone says, maybe just add to that higher power if I really like, you know, parts of it. But importantly is that HP has to have the strength, the everything needed to be able to give me everything I need to get through whatever it is that life sends at me. Life has sent an awful lot at me. There was a period of 9 months back in New York before I moved here that were insane. By anybody's standards, it was calamity after calamity after calamity. And every one of those things I looked at as a blessing. While people would say, I'm so sorry. No, don't even think about that. I'm doing fine. I was out of work for 5 weeks after a bicycle, not a bike accident, that put me in ICU for 2.5 days. I have no recollection of. Evidently 2.5 really good days to not remember. My ex left me and emptied the bank account, stopped paying the bills. He made 70% of our income. Bad things happened. And every one of them, like I said, was a blessing. When I had the accident, I was out of work for 5 weeks. I slept in my recliner because I couldn't get up the stairs. People came and fed my cats and brought me meals and took care of everything because I pretty much couldn't get out of the recliner. And, you know, if that isn't helpless, I am powerless, 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 powerless. I'm very visual. I visualized my higher power. This time was a person, but a very, very big one, wearing a Bela Lugosi vampire cape, you know, the old movies, right? And he had his arms crossed, and I climbed into the nook of his right arm, you know, his elbow, and he flung his cape over me And I just stayed there protected for the 5 weeks that I pretty much couldn't do anything else. And every morning I'd wake up and I'd say, you know, I only need a few things from you today. If you could just see, feel, sleep, eat, think, breathe, act, and speak for me, after that, you're off the clock. Because I knew I couldn't do it on my own. I think that people who come into program with a lifetime of pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you can do it, you have to do it, that kind of upbringing, may not have as easy a time as I did in accepting my powerlessness over my food, over my life, people's places, things, and situations. They spent their lives saying, no, I have to take care of it. I spent my life saying, I can't take care of it. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do anything right. Like I said, puddle on the floor. So to have a higher power who loves me, like, let's start off with that, you know, and will always be there for me, loves me unconditionally. You know, I know my parents love me, but, well, A, that word was never used, and B, man, did they show it in weird ways. No matter what I did, it didn't matter what I did. I knew that HP loves me and will always give me what I need. And like I said, it was calamity after calamity, which is what got me moving down here, actually. I sold my house in the most expensive place in the world after being unemployed for I don't know how many years after the bubble burst. And I remember when I was moving down here, it was one of the last meetings I was at in New York. And somebody said, just as the meeting was about to begin, do you know where you're going? And I said, nope. what do you mean? Like, you're leaving in a few weeks. And I said, I know, it'll be taken care of. It's going to be okay. I know it's going to be okay. Like, that's insane. All right, so let's go forward to what's going on in this country today, in the whole world today. Everybody stresses over COVID. In this country, people are stressing over two things. And people are really, really unsettled. Let's call it insane, you know? How many people have put on weight? Whether they're compulsive eaters or not, because that's just a better thing to do than to listen to my head saying, oh my God, what's going to happen? Am I going to get the disease? Am I going to die? Is my mother? Right? I have done none of that. Zero. I think I had a real boost up because when we realized that COVID was real, it was springtime and I have a garden and I kind of have OCD too. And I got a little OCD in my garden. I just dug in the dirt until I could, I looked for every root that I could, which is very mindless work. So while I was doing it for hours and hours and hours and hours every day, I mean, like weeks, literally, I was nuts. Yeah. But while I was doing it, I was meditating. A friend of mine had given me three mantras to chant and I chanted those. And in between them, I said my prayers, my everyday prayers, which was like 3, 4, or 5 times a day. and I didn't notice a change until the day that I went to do platelets. And I said the day before, I said, oh, you know, I've been going to the gym for two hard hours, like 3 to 4 times a week before this. And for the past month or two, I've taken exactly one walk. Oops, I will have gained weight. I didn't get crazy. That's when I get weight, is at platelets. I knew that I will have gained weight. I gained exactly -3. Shocked the hell out of me. I could not believe it. And then I thought about it and I realized that the spirituality that I had built for myself just in that, never mind the rest of my program, allowed me to not eat as much as I had been eating, without even thinking about it, I cut my food intake down. You know, I'm surprised I'm not saying, like, I should be falling off my chair saying that, because that's ridiculous. As far as I'm concerned, the name of my game has always been doing my best to keep that conscious contact with my higher power, keep that channel open and flowing. Because without my higher power, there is nothing I can do right. There is no chain on the refrigerator that can keep me away from it. With my higher power, there is no voice inside the fridge that can yell loudly enough for me to obey.
That was 20 minutes.
Thank you. And there is nothing that my life will deal to me that I can't handle. You know, and that's crazy for me that I can't handle. I can handle anything in my life. And it's been insane. It's been insane. But there is nothing I can't, you know, like COVID, you know, et cetera. While everybody else is really stressing, and maybe they've calmed down now because, you know, we're getting into the swing of, you know, the whatever it is. I just know that my getting crazy over it ain't going to change it. It is not going to make COVID go away. It's not going to make COVID be worse. It's not going to make COVID not hit my neighbors or my friends or hit my neighbors or my friends. Not going to change any of that. What's it going to change? It's going to make me worse. It's going to make me unhappy. It's going to give me a bad day. It's going to change the balance of the voices in my head. When I have that connection open and clear, I hear that voice. And I don't hear my disease's voice as much. It's kind of like an ant, and I can totally ignore it. But when I get, when the fear, which is what has always been my big thing, when that takes over, it changes the balance. And I don't hear my higher power's voice as much as I hear my disease's voice. And guess what happens? So my job, hold on, is to be able to recognize as soon as possible when I have changed that situation. I went from this to this, you know, because of the fear. What is it? What am I afraid of? What, you know, what, all those inventory things. Would I rather be happy? Would I rather have serenity? You know, what do they say? Would you rather be right or happy? You know, yeah, I'd rather be happy. I don't care what right is. But if not thinking about X makes me better, then hey, I don't need to think about X. You know, I have friends who obsess over X. Paranoia, like, I can't believe. And I watch them sit in their house day after day after day and get smaller and smaller, and their lives get smaller and smaller. You know, I've been taking care of myself. I've been tested 5 times now. I've been, you know, certainly I've been in contact with an awful lot of people as an election inspector, and we've only had about 11 inspections this year, elections. I have gone to the grocery store, et cetera. I do the right thing. I wear a mask anytime I'm out in public. I wash my hands, yada, yada. And I don't worry that I am going to come home with COVID and infect, you know, my cat, who's going to reinfect me if I ever get better and end up in a hospital. And I'm all alone because I don't have a family. My sister's down in Lewis. And oh my God, who's going to take? You know, that's exhausting. It's exhausting to listen to the wrong side. Because that's the button my disease likes to push. You know, just tire her out, wear her out, and she'll do anything. It'll be really easy. When I am not comfortable, I know that it's my will that's taken over. Oh my God, how am I going to pay my rent when my money runs out? I don't have a job. I haven't had a temporary job since before COVID, and there is just so much money in an account for me. And when that runs out, refrigerator box on Route 6, I don't know. I don't think about it. I don't think about it. And so I get to live happy, joyous, and free today. My email address starts with HJF. I just told you what that means. Happy, joyous, and free. The rest of it is biker chicken. And when I turn off my video, you'll see why. But I get to live my life happy, joyous, and free today and every day I choose, as long as I surrender my will. Surrender. Oh my God, what a terrible thing that people think, you know, especially those pull yourself up by the bootstraps, you can do it, right? Change that word. Get rid of the word surrender and think, I choose to cooperate with my program. I choose to do what my program tells me to do. Work my steps, use my tools, give service, give service, give service, give service, you know? Allow my program to flow through me so that it can stay alive and well and healthy, like a brook that can't get dammed up or it stops, you know, it gets all sick and algae and yuck, right? If I don't let my program flow through me, in me and out to help others, it's going to be dammed up and I'm going to, you know, get sick and, you know, full of algae and infection and yuck, and I'm going to be worth bupkis. But if I want to keep it healthy, I'll let it flow through me. I will work my steps. I will do what my sponsor tells me to do. I will, all of those things that I know got me abstinent, I will continue to do because I like being happy. Oh man, being happy is just, I didn't know what that was. You know, I as a kid, I knew what happy was if I was near a horse, which happened 8 times in 1 month every summer from the time that I was about 8 till I was 15. And as an adult, when I was on the back of a motorcycle, that was happy. That was the only happy I understood. Now, you know, I could just walk outside and see the flowers and be happy. I can just walk outside and see the flowers and know that my higher power is right here with me at all times. Okay. So how do I stay working my program, keeping that conscious contact open? When I was, you know, those 5 weeks of sitting in a chair and not being able to get up came very shortly after my ex had left me and emptied the bank account and stopped paying the bills, and he made 70% of our income. And this many days after, that's 7 if you can't see my hands, I got a settlement from a slip and fall accident I'd had 2 years earlier. If that had come 7 days earlier, my ex would have gotten that too. It paid the mortgage for 3 months. That was when I really started thinking about how HP has put me in the right place at the right time for the right thing to happen all my life. And I didn't even ask for it. Gee, what could it be like if I kind of decided to team up and say, is this what you like? You know, I get to kind of align my will with my higher powers. Man, I really started drawing a timeline of things like that, of things exactly like that. You know, the times that I was driving and following instructions, and instead of turning left like the instructions said, I turned right and I found, you know, whatever, the pot of gold. You know, how do you explain that? How do you explain going to a convention And thinking that you really needed to go to this workshop. This is the workshop that you need to go to. But I was actually late, and I don't like walking into places late. So I went to this workshop that started a little bit later. And that was the workshop I needed to hear in such a big way. You know, I had a diamond and ruby ring, engagement ring. And I thought I was looking for pearls of wisdom from that other workshop. But here is where I got diamonds and rubies of wisdom that I could not have conceived of on my own if you paid me to. Things have happened like that all my life. So when I spent 5 weeks in that chair, I did the same thing. So here's something interesting. My mother was in her close to 90 by this time. And my sister lived in Illinois and she wanted mom to come visit her. And the only way to get her on a plane was if Pam came to Bronxville, picked mom up and took her on the plane with her. And she spent the day, September. Well, I should start by telling you that my father died on 9/11/01, not in 9/11, but on that day. Which was a very bad day to have died, because mom didn't have a prayer of not thinking about it for months in advance for years after that. So September 10th, she was taking my mother to a Greek festival. My mother's half Greek. And long story short, she found out that I had that accident. My cousin called her and said that I was in the hospital. So Pam picked mom right up again and zipped over to the hospital. And mom would have gone crazy trying to get to me at this hospital every day, but she was too old to drive that far anymore. She drove into Bronxville and that was it. Bronxville, you know, half a mile and half a mile home, and that was it for her. She would have gone crazy wondering how I was going to be taken care of. They walked into that hospital and they saw all of the friends that I had just moved to their town and others in a powwow. This one's going to feed the cat. This one's going to bring Cindy home. This one's going to be making these meals. This one's going to, you know, and they couldn't believe what they said. Pam got to whisk mom off to Illinois to have a fine vacation without worrying, because she knew I had 68 people taking care of me. When I brought her home, she sat down and I said, "You may thank me now." She said, "For what?" I said, "Did you think about that on the 10th? Those are the things that happen. I mean, like, I cannot put these things together on my own. They happen all the time. So I go noticing them. And noticing is how I mix my metaphors in a big way here. I file away an insurance policy, you know, in my bank vault that keeps me remembering who I am, who my higher power is, how much he can do for me if I just let him. Let go of my own will. And then I can let go of my own will, you know? And the fear doesn't have to grow and build up a wall that blocks out my sunlight before I say, "Oh, what happened? I don't ever want to get back there," you know? That wall, that black, that no sunlight is a place that I never, ever want to go back to again. So I need to always, as much as humanly, as in we don't have the perfect contract possible, be trying to align my will with my higher powers. My will is what got me here in the first place. My will is what helped to make my world so black. My will had me so self-centered that I didn't even, like other people didn't exist. And now when I align myself with HP's will, I do great things. I'm a great person. I know I'm a great person. I don't need people anymore. This is a miracle, telling me that I'm a great person, that I'm kind and considerate and all those things, you know? I used to, for a while, I had to have people telling me that before I could believe it because it was such a foreign notion. But today I know that. I don't have to be told. And that is, that's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy what I can deal with when all I was for all my life before that was a puddle on the floor that couldn't do anything. Today, I can get through a divorce, a really bad one, you know, losing my job, losing my, well, I didn't lose my home. I sold it before I lost it. Yay. not knowing where my rent will come from in a little while, not even thinking about it, because I know that something will happen and I don't have to make it happen. I don't have to make it happen. You know, that's all I have to know is it's going to work. I don't have to figure out where do I find a job? How do I get a job? I can't get a job. Who can get a job now? There's no way I can. Hey, and I'm really too old to go back to an up. Oh man, it's just so much better to live my life without that garbage in here. It's just so much better that I can really enjoy life no matter what, whether it means that I have to stay at home all the time or not. If, you know, the AAA, we've heard of the AAA of recovery, awareness, acceptance, action. If I'm not aware of it, I can't accept it and I can't take action. So awareness is the first thing. Having that good connection with my higher power makes me aware faster than if I'm doing it on my own, if I'm doing this. When I become aware, I can take the action. And sometimes the action is really, really easy. Even just easy, never mind simple, but easy. A one word prayer, the shortest prayer in the world, help. Because I'm not doing a good job. Please help. I need help. Help. Whatever it is. When I can do that, the help comes. I remember I don't have to do it on my own. I'm not the one that has to fix everything. I just have to sit back and relax and let it get fixed. And if that comes through a voice in my head telling me to get up and feed the cat, whatever it is, that's what it is. Voices from all over the place. Somebody said in another workshop, and I love it, God with skin on. You know, HP talks to me in many, many ways, through my own voice, whatever. It's not my own voice, it's coming in my head. You guys, anybody saying it through my sponsees in a big way. Oh, let me tell you. So I just have to let it happen to make my life happy, joyous, and free today. If I try to do it on my own, if I try to use my own will, God, it just so doesn't work out. It really doesn't. I will always be an addict. I will always be that person that I was molded into. It will always be inside of me. But if I choose to work this program every day of my life, I can be living in recovery every day of my life and have a happy, joyous, and free life. My choice, my choice. Sometimes I don't make that choice right. I need to notice that I didn't make the right choice and I'm not feeling good. Okay, let's get back to the right choice. That's all I have to do. And I think on that note,